Earth Rock Podcast.
Well, good morning. How are you? Good. Well, somebody told me, hey, you're in the wrong building. Well, I am not with my church quite yet, but I am going to leave here immediately after and go be with them and be with you today as well. But just felt today, as we've been praying and preparing for this new series, that there was something that I needed to share here, but I also need to be over there for what we're doing as well. So we're going to do that today, and I hope that you're ready to kind of put Christmas behind us. Not that that's quite, you know, I'm not trying to be mean, but, you know, I mean, 2015's coming. Is anybody ready for 2015 yet? I don't know. I mean, it's good, it's bad. Sometimes it's nice to turn the chapter and start something new. But I think I'm ready, and I hope though that your Christmas was good. Well, open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1, and I'm going to introduce our new series. And then after I do that, we'll dig a little deeper, and I will talk to you about this topic that I'm sharing both here today and also in our church about something that we have been doing in our church for the past several years, a little bit of why we do it and how it fits in with what's going on here as well. But I got to give Chad a hard time. Of course, he doesn't show up today, so I can give him a hard time. But he gives me the Sunday after Christmas, and I don't know if your family's anything like mine, but there's two wonderful things about Christmas. You get to give gifts, and you get to eat food. And we're very good at both those things, right? We love food, we love eating, we love the celebration. And then he's like, all right, we're going to start soaking. Why don't you take the first weekend? Awesome. Well, my topic today is going to be the topic of fasting. Thanks, Chad. Right after Christmas and right after everybody's still probably a little comatose from everything they ate, we get to talk about fasting today. So I'm giving you like the 5-minute warning. In 5 minutes, we'll be talking about fasting. But until then, we'll introduce our new series, Psalm chapter 1. Verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Our new series is entitled Soak. And over the next several weeks, what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be talking about the distinctives and patterns of life the Christian needs to have so that we could be much like the psalmist is writing about here in Psalm chapter 1. That we would be a person who, using the metaphor of the tree, that has deep roots, that is healthy and strong, that is like the tree by the water, that is flourishing, thriving, and healthy, that when you come upon it, you know this tree can stand the test of time. This tree can handle whatever's thrown at it. When the winds blow and the storms rage, this tree has deep roots and a firm foundation. And the metaphor is an image for you and for me, that if we learn the patterns, the distinctives, the habits of our journey of faith, we can become like this tree, people that are rooted deep, that have that character, that substance, that no matter what happens in life, when the storms rage or life gets challenging, we know how to get through it. Distinctives like being a person of the Word. That's what the psalmist actually speaks of here. And he says, this person who has deep roots meditates on the Word of God day and night. This person knows how to worship. And so we're talking about starting 2015 in a way that we want to be people of His presence. And I don't know about you, but that's really one of my goals. There's a lot of things I want to do in life. A lot of things may be tied to my calling and assignment as a pastor. But more than that, before we ever get there, everything has to start with my own personal journey of faith. If I'm not walking out what I believe, then I have really no right to be doing anything else. And more than anything else, I want to be known for not what I do, but who I am. I want to be a person of character. I want to be a person of substance. I want to be a person that's deep in the presence of God. I remember a story. Sabrina and I were asked years ago to participate in an ordination service for our movement. Now, an ordination service is when we set aside leaders for the call of ministry, and we lay hands on them and we pray. And we were given the names of a couple to be praying for. And so we did, and we were praying, and we were seeking God, trying to get a word and be ready for that evening and that special moment. But also that night, one of the fathers of our movement was there, and he was also asked to do the same thing for another couple. And he is at the age where it doesn't matter what you tell him, he's going to do what he wants to do anyway. Now, I am so excited to get that old in life. I mean, I can't wait for the day that it doesn't matter what you tell me. I'm going to do whatever I want. Nobody can correct me. And he was at that age, right? And so we all had our instructions, and we're trying to, you know, do what we were asked to do because it's a big deal for these people. And so we go down to pray, and he went down as well to pray, but he didn't really go down just to pray for, you know, the people he was assigned. He just started praying for everybody. I mean, he just started, oh, Jesus has something for you, and Jesus has something for you, and Jesus has something for you. And then he turns to us, and he's like, oh, and he's got something for you. And I'm like, wait, it's not our time. You know, we're here for somebody else. He's like, no, he's got something for you. And bam, he did. And I pondered that, and I thought about that, and I took that away, and I just told Sabrina, we talk about it, and I said, that's what I want to be like. I want to live my life in such a way that I just resonate with the Spirit of God. That it just comes out of me. That you're just so in tune with Him. It's just coming out of every fiber, every pore of my being. Jesus. And it's not about assignment or title or job description or anything I do. It's about who I am. It is what God has done in my life, and it just comes out of me. I want to be a person of character and substance. This is what Psalm 1 is talking about, and this is what our series is about. Soak, being people of substance, of character, deep in the presence of God. Well, how do we get there? Well, I love Matthew chapter 6. Now, Matthew chapter 6 comes in between Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 7. I know that's brilliant right there for you. But the reason I say that is Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is actually called the Sermon on the Mount. Greatest message ever preached, ever. Jesus came and he showed up and he delivered one for the ages. And what he did is he honestly really turned the church on its ear. He showed up that day and he said, I want to just really flip it all on its ear. And he raised the bar so much. So he starts in Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said this, "You have heard it said, do not commit murder. But I tell you, even if you are angry at your brother, you have sinned. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you look at a woman lustfully, you have committed a sin." So Matthew 5 starts out, and Jesus really raised the bar. I mean, blew the roof off the teaching of the day. Now, I don't know, but sometimes I think about putting myself in the story, and the place I don't want to be in the story is one of the teachers of that day, because "you have heard it said" means somebody said it. Right? So how do you want to be a teacher that day and Jesus takes your sermon and blows it up? But that's what he's doing. You have heard it said, the bar needs to be higher. What is Jesus saying? Outward obedience is not the goal. You can be outwardly obedient, but inwardly defiant. We are not talking about outward obedience. We are talking about the heart. We are talking about lining ourselves up so that our heart desires God, that our heart wants the things of the kingdom, that our heart will be about these things. And then he proceeds into Matthew 6. And so we get to Matthew 6, and he gives us, I believe, distinctives. talking heart in Matthew 5. In Matthew 6, he said, these are the marks then of my people. And what does he say? Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. So when you give to the needy, notice that Jesus did not say, if you give to the needy. There is no if here. One of the distinctives then that he's saying, believers, church, is we need to be generous. This is who we're supposed to be. It's not a question. He says, you get your heart in the right place, and this is a mark then of who we are supposed to be. We are to be a generous people. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. It's a heart thing, tying Matthew 5 in with Matthew 6, heart thing. But if you're an underliner, this is a good place to underline in your Bible. When you give, we are called to be a generous people. This is a distinctive of who we are. And remember, one of the themes of Scripture, all the way from the Old Testament, all the way into the New Testament, is this theme, that God calls a people out to be separate and be different from the rest of the community. He chose the nation of Israel from the rest of the world, and he says, I want you to be different. I want you to live different. I want you to act differently. We see it in the New Testament. Sometimes we misunderstand the culture and the context, but it really, the heart of it was to be this. Church, you need to live differently. You need to act differently. You need to be distinctive from the rest of the world. And one of the ways we are supposed to be distinctive is we are to be generous people. He continues in Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray. We're to be a praying people. We're to be a giving people, and we're to be a praying people. We need to be marked by the presence of God. And how do we get into the presence of God? We get there by that communion of relationship, by being a people of prayer. We need to be a people of prayer. And Jesus said this, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Again, it's a heart. Why do you go and just show everybody, oh, look at me, I'm praying? Just be a person that's in his presence all the time. Be a person that cares about that. And then another distinctive, Matthew 6:16, when you fast. Oh, man. Really? This is not a fun one to talk about. And look what it says here. When you pray, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show when they are fasting. I don't blame them. I miss dinner. Dinner's a little late getting to the table. I disfigure my face. Dear God, when are we gonna eat? Didn't you have lunch? Yes, but it doesn't matter. I'm dying. Can we please eat soon? Fasting. Oh, this is a tough one, but it's a distinctive. So how do we understand it? What is fasting about? Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. What we got to understand is this. We are made in the image of God. God is triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, equal but separate. We are triune. We have a body, which is our earth suit, the part of us that stays here, part of us that will go on the ground. We have a soul, which is the seat of our emotions and our thinking. And we have a spirit, the part of us that communes in relationship with God. The problem is, God is equal and there's no bickering in the Godhead and in the Trinity, but when it gets to us, there's bickering all the time. I mean, our body, our soul, and our spirit are like three siblings, man, just fighting, fighting, fighting all the time. Who's going to be in charge? Who's driving the ship? Who's the one that gets to decide what's going to happen? Our spirit wants to commune with God, but our flesh is saying, I'm not getting out of bed yet. Hit the snooze button again. Oh, you haven't been there. Our flesh wants to be comfortable. It likes eating. It likes sleeping. And our spirit is crying out for relationship with God. And Jesus said this. He said, look, you got to understand that you do not get by just because you eat real food. You have to put your spirit in charge. And one of the things that fasting does is it begins to right the ship. It helps our flesh to know this. Our spirit telling our flesh, shut up! Enough! We're going to be spiritual beings and not driven by our flesh. Now, as I've struggled with this, and let me tell you, I've struggled with this over the years, because fasting is just, it's not fun. I know I'm doing a great sales job today, right? We're so excited about this, Johnny. But it really isn't. I mean, one of the challenges of fasting is just you get on a fast, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I try and plan out my fasting times. One of the reasons is fasting is very intense. It ups the bar spiritually. Why? Because as you choose to seek the presence of God, He honors that. And so as you come in and say, Lord, I'm going to fast, I'm going to deny my flesh, I'm going to spend more time with You, because what is the heart of fasting? Remember, fasting isn't just missing lunch. Okay, working through lunch does not count as a fast. It just counts as being too busy. Okay, fasting, setting aside the normal routine to spend more time in the presence of God. So I give up eating and I spend time with the Lord. And the thing that happens as you fast is the intensity goes up because God honors that request. And so as you fast, the intensity goes up and the Lord begins to purify you, and it's not easy. And so in our house, we schedule these things out because the last thing we need is for all of us to be on a fast at the same time and we have all these grumpy people going through intense spiritual things, living under the same roof together. So we plan it. And we said, honey, I'm going to be fasting these days and I'm going to do this. And she's like, great. All right. Looking forward to that. But we schedule it. But if you've ever had this experience, I mean, I schedule a fast and I wake up and it's not even time to eat yet. It's barely time to have coffee, and coffee's holy. First thing of the morning, every day You hear the angels sing when the grinder's going, and it's beautiful, beautiful music. But even before that, and I don't normally eat much for breakfast, but I'm on a fasting day, and the coffee hasn't even started, and my stomach's like, feed me! And it's like, I'm not eating today. I know, that's why we're hungry already. It's not an easy thing. It's actually a discipline. See, learning to give is a discipline. It's not just something that we can fall into and do. We discipline ourselves to learn to be generous. We must discipline ourselves to learn to pray, to be a person of prayer. It's not just that some are good at it and some aren't. You train yourself in these things. And we must train ourselves and learn how to fast. It's a challenge. So in our home, we plan them out because we want to just be careful, except for the times that we fast corporately as a church. And then when we do that, we all enter it together, and away we go. But as I've struggled with this, I was struck by this verse, and this ended it for me. Matthew 17, verse 21. Now, context here, Matthew 17, Jesus has just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He has taken Peter, James, and John. He has been revealed in the fullness of His glory. He shed His earth suit, and they saw Him in His glorified state. An amazing moment. But at the bottom of the mountain, business as usual was still taking place. And so in that day, the disciples would act on Jesus' behalf. So people were coming to meet with Jesus. They meet with the disciples. They're trying to get things taken care of. And so Jesus, Peter, James, and John come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and there's a problem. And the problem is a father has brought his son to be delivered from a demonic presence. And the disciples can't do it. And they're struggling. And it's becoming an issue, and crowds are gathering, and things are happening. So Jesus shows up, and Jesus immediately deals with the situation and casts it out. And the disciples then come back to Jesus and they say, look, help us understand this. Why couldn't we do it? Now, context. This is something they'd been trained to do. This is something they had done before. This wasn't new. This wasn't them trying to branch off into something new or overstep their boundaries as disciples. This was something as disciples they'd been trained, empowered, released, had experience doing, but for some reason, this moment, they could not. And they didn't understand it. And so they come to Jesus and they're like, help us understand, please. We've done this before. You've taught us how to do this. Why did we not have success in this situation? Matthew 17, verse 21, Jesus said, however, this kind goes out, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And here's the thing that got me on that verse. There are things that God wants to do in our lives that will not be accomplished unless we are a people that learn how to discipline ourselves and fast and pray. You will face situations in your journey of faith, things that you knew how to accomplish, things you knew how to do in the past, but for some reason you can't get through them now. You need to pray and you need to fast. There are things that God has for us that He wants us to accomplish and do, things that He created you to do, because, hear me, God has an amazing plan for your life, and He loves you very much. But you will not be able to accomplish all those things until we start becoming disciplined in these areas, these distinctives, being in His Word, being in His presence, being a person of prayer, and learning how to fast. This settled it for me. As much as I don't like fasting. And I don't like fasting. I like eating. Eating's good. I mean, when you get on a fast, it's amazing what looks good to you. You just go driving down the street and it's like, oh my gosh, that looks amazing. Honey, we never eat there. Today's a good day to start. I mean, you're just like, I want to eat. I like eating. But we need to fast. So what happens when we fast? Well, I love that God is so amazing that there's not only spiritual dynamics, but there's also natural physical dynamics as well. You see, in the Old Testament, the Lord actually commanded the Israelites to get away, and they were called festivals. And the feasts that you would get away for, in these feasts, you would take time off work, which, I mean, we could all ascribe to that. Amen. God says I need to take time off work. And so go take some time off of work, but also fast. Now, as we've studied fasting, what we begin to realize is that your body actually needs to, on occasion, fast. Physically, for your health. What happens as you fast is your body actually begins to recover and repair itself from all the challenge, the stress, the dynamics that we put on ourselves eating. Because the stuff we consume causes our body to just have to deal with some stuff. And so our organs, dealing with the chemicals, the food, all these things. And every now and then your body just needs a break. And as you give your body a break, it actually heals itself. And it does some stuff that it can't do in the midst of trying to deal with everything we put in it all the time. I think that's interesting. Almost looks like we were created by a God who knew what He was doing, right? I want you to fast. Well, I don't want to. Well, you need to. It's actually good for you. Well, what happens to us spiritually? As we begin to fast spiritually, as I mentioned before, we begin to be purified. We actually become more sensitive. Because we start tuning out other things that's going on. Now, I like this because there's also a very direct natural correlation as well. If you fast food and then you start getting back on food, it's amazing how different things are for you. You give up something for a little while, like, say, caffeine, and you get off of caffeine for a little bit, which just for a little bit. I mean, caffeine's holy, so you don't have to be off of it very long. But then you come back to caffeine in that glorious moment and you enjoy that hot, steaming cup of coffee. What's interesting, if you haven't had it for a while, you don't need as much. I mean, you drink as much as you did before if you haven't been on it for a little while, and you don't need, I mean, you're floating through your day. Your feet don't touch the ground. You become more sensitive to caffeine. Well, the same thing's happening to you spiritually. As you begin to tune out some things and tune in more to the presence of God, you become more sensitive to His presence. Well, that's a good thing. Why? What's the example? There are things in life that we will face that we need to break through on our journey of faith. And this is what we want to be about. So what we do in our church, and we've been doing this for the past several years, is we have started the year with a 21-day fast. Now, why do we start the year that way? We don't have a lot of time to go into it, but it's just understand this principle that there's something in Scripture that God just likes about firsts. Now, the Bible says that the firstborn is holy. The Bible says bring the first fruits into the tithe, the first fruits. The psalmist said, early in the morning will I seek you, the first of the day. And so we believe, applying this principle then, that there's some wisdom in spending some time at the beginning of a year seeking God's grace and favor for the beginning of the year. And so corporately, we've been doing this for the past several years, and it has changed our church. There's something amazing that happens when a group of people together say this: we are going to tune out some things, and we're going to tune in to what God has for us. And we see spiritually breakthrough. We see people very sensitive to the heart of God. We see prophetic things happening. We see people being healed, all because together we say we are going to seek God's presence together for this year, and something very powerful happens. So North Rock, we would like to invite you to join us this January, January 5th through 25th, 21 days of fasting and prayer. Now, our fasting, not everyone can do a food fast. And I just encourage you, if there's a medical reason, you have some medical things, please don't consider doing something without proper consultation. It's not wise to just deny yourself. But there is something very powerful about tuning some things out. So if you can't do a food fast, I'd like to invite you to consider some other fasts. And also, over the course of the next week, we'll be distributing some information on awesome fasts that you can do as you learn to discipline yourself in this routine. But some amazing fasts that I've done over the course of my journey, one was a media fast. Turning off the news. Now, I don't know if your routine's anything like mine, but I get up in the morning and see what's going on in the world, and I go to bed at night, and the last thing I do is see what's going on in the world. And you know one thing I've noticed? There isn't much going on in the world that's very good. That affects you. I mean, we're called to be a joy-filled people, filled with purpose and faith. Every now and then, you need to unplug. And you know what? The world will still go along okay, even if you aren't aware of everything that's going on every second of the day. I've done media fast before, and it's so encouraging. Something else I've done before is I've just only listened to worship music for 21 days. I like listening to a lot of music. I mean, there's just certain points in time you need a good 80s song. You know, it's just life, you know. But there's also seasons when I need to seek the presence of God. And so I just spend a season, just worship music. This is all I'm going to surround myself with, and this is all I'm going to listen to and watch as I encourage myself, stir myself up. The thing I like about a 21-day fast is you can break it up into 3 one-week segments, and you could try different things. Experiment a little bit, learn. Maybe you could do a food fast for a portion of it, and a media fast for a portion of it, and something else for week 3. But here's the challenge I give our people. I ask them to consider this, because we can all do it. But I ask them, would you consider giving up meats and sweets for 3 weeks? Now, there's a couple reasons. One, it's a solid fast. Two, anybody can do it. Anybody can do this. And the other thing, too, that it does is it exposes ourselves to a way of life that many in the world live. And it's very healthy for us as Western Christians to begin to remember those in other parts of the world, their way of life. It'll change the way you pray if you adopt their lifestyle for just a little while. And it's very doable. You can eat very well without eating meat. And then the thing we do is we end, we have a little celebration after 3 weeks, and it's a meats and sweets Sunday, and it's good. Oh, man. But you don't need very much if you haven't had any sugar for 3 weeks. You just get a little nibble of something, and you're like, ugh. Would you join us? Can we start 2015 as a people wanting to be deep in His presence? As a people agreeing together for God's very best for a new year? As a church that says, we want to be in Your presence. And we're willing to tune out the world, willing to tune out the highs and the lows and the things, because we know, Lord, it's in You. It's in Your presence. It's in Your grace that we'll find everything we need. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we conclude today, we want to respond to You. And Lord, from the very beginning of our service all the way through, this has been the heart cry. More of You, more of Your presence, that You are calling us higher and deeper and further in Your grace. Lord, may we be a people that heed that call. Lord, I want my life to be marked by the distinctives of being a person after Your heart. Lord, more than anything else, it's about being in love with You. And Lord, it's about the way You love us too. Thank You for what You've done in our lives in 2014. Thank You for the way You've moved. But Lord, we're expectant. We're eager for a new year. And so as we start this new year, we want to soak in Your presence. We want to be a people that know how to hear Your voice. We want to be a people deep, oozing out Your grace. Fill us today, we pray. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for every heart, every soul, every person here. May You touch every need. May You heal every hurt. May You fill every heart with Your grace and love. Jesus, we love You and thank You today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.